Sports Radio.
Yeah. The rare deck of yeah to start hour number two. After all, it is the last show of the year. It is the year in review. I'm Jim Rome. The program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. What's cracking? Welcome to the show. If you're on Twitter and you're commenting on what you hear or there's something you want to say, just do me a favor. Just hashtag it, Rome, Y-I-R, Rome, Y-I-R, R-O-M-E, Y-I-R. Do it. Let's continue. We got to keep moving. If you want to hit me up on the phones, go ahead and try that. March means March Madness. March Madness means Cinderella stories. One of the best Cinderella stories was Fairleigh Dickinson, led by my man, my guy, head coach Greg Herrenda.
My mother used to say, Rome, it's a great expression. I don't know on the West Coast if you hear it. You've got to ring the doorbell with your elbows. It means you're bringing something to the table. So you have a bag great. Of donuts. You got a loaf of bread, and you ring the doorbell with your elbows. You're bringing to somebody. You're not taking. And my mother taught me that when I was a young boy. And if I go to somebody's house and you bring the bottle of wine, you've got to do the right thing. Our fans deserve for me to step up in a small little way. I rang the doorbell with my elbows.
Great coach. An even better guy. Hope to see them back in the dance this year. Now, Adam Hawk. This dude. Adam Hawk. He's a lot of things, most of which are bad and embarrassing. However, in March, he added a very respectable line to his bizarre life resume, and that's the line of marathon finisher.
I will end this Periscope when I get my damn medal. And not a moment before. What time is it? It's like late. I told my wife I'd be home at noon.
All right. So how does it feel to be an official marathon finisher?
It feels great. It really does. I would say that no one can prepare you for how hard it's going to be. You hear everything about hitting that wall mile 18. The problem for me is I hit the wall mile 12.
6 hours and 18 minutes. May not be the best time, but he got it done. He finished what he started. My favorite part is not that he stopped training and got fat before the marathon. It's that Keith Arnold ran it in nearly half the time, and nobody seemed to notice or even care. Yo, Batman, what up? You good, Batman? 6 weeks after winning the Super Bowl, the most interesting New England Patriot ever walked away from the sport, and now Foxborough has never been so boring.
What's up?
Gronk is into the end zone. Touchdown, Patriots.
Why are you on the Gronk crew?
To sleep with Gronk.
Who's getting wild tonight?
Touchdown, Patriots.
Set the big boy up with another one.
And there's only one thing you can deflate.
These nuts.
Got the step. Throws down the right side for Gronk. Whoa. Makes the catch to the 20. Gronk for the record book. Touchdown, 69 for Rob Gronkowski.
Will you spike the pinata?
Blue 42. Blue 42. Go, Gronk. Go.
Rob Gronkowski, the definition of one of a kind. Gone, but never forgotten. The Canadians might have had a brutal three-year run in the smack-off, but Matt and Van provided an all-time jungle soundbite when he went in on Rick in Buffalo 2 months out from the event.
And as for this gas bag Rick in Buffalo, Rick, you look like an angry, screaming human penis, man, mixing a baseball cap.
Incredible. That call was a reset, or was reset for at least a month after it happened. It might be Matt's most memorable moment ever. Now, there are great storytellers, and then there's the mayor, Sean Casey. And this story about playing catch with the late, great Bob Feller is absolutely amazing.
So Mike Hargo says to me, it's a case. Why don't you throw a catch with Feller today? I go out, I introduce myself. How you doing, Mr. Feller? You know, he's like, how you doing, son? I'm like, hey, I'm Sean Casey. I'm throwing catch with you today. Okay, get over there. So I get over. You know, Bob Feller throws me the ball. I get back. I throw it back to him. Now, I throw a couple of lobs to him. And Troy Lavolo's like, Case, he's like, hey, man, quit showing up Bob Feller. I was like, what do you mean? He's like, yeah, you're lobbing it to him, man. You can throw it to him.
Romy, here's the problem. Back then, I kind of had the yips. I could either lob it or throw it a little harder. Like there was no in between, right? I wing him one, right? And there's Feller. Feller's, he's got his glove out, and it's like to you know, left of his body. And he's got his arm up, and the ball just keeps getting closer and closer and closer. I'm like, wow. I'm like, what the hell is he doing? Well, yeah. And then, boom, it hits him off his chest. Bam. Down goes Feller, goes to his knees, you know, and his face plants into the ground. I'm like, oh, my God. I go running over. I'm like, oh, my God, Mr. Feller, are you okay? And he's just in the ground like, oh. And here I am. I think I might have killed Bob Feller playing catch with him.
The mayor nearly killed the heater from Van Meter. Thankfully, he didn't. But he did kill telling that story. My man, Case. Cal in Vegas is the rare caller where you never know exactly what you're going to get. Sometimes he's smack off. Other times he's hack off. But the one thing that is always certain, this dude will threaten somebody with violence.
Rex questions the fact that I'm a professional gambler. Rex, I've already made enough money off of March Madness to buy 10 Rolexes. But I'm not going to do that because I'm smart. Rex, nothing is more pathetic than cashing out your 401k just so you can sport a Rolex on TV. And one more thing, a while back, that four-eyed freak Rick in Buffalo came in here and said he was coming to Vegas during spring break to, quote, kick my ass. Rick, you ain't gonna do nothing. What's happening, partner? I ain't that hard to find. As soon as you get down here, I'm putting you in a chokehold. And I'm not letting go until your face turns the same color as your bright red alcoholic nose.
Got that? Rudolph, the alcoholic Rick? Now, if I'm resetting a piece of sound from a newscast, generally it means something went horribly wrong. And WTOL, trying to go Gen Z with it during testing week, was all wrong. Absolutely horribly wrong.
Good morning, TPS students. It is testing week, and it's time to slay all day.
Yeet. Stay woke, beyond fleek, and get that Gucci breakfast.
Goals. Say bye, Felicia, to that testing stress. Weather's going to be turnt, right, Chris?
Yes. Toledo weather going to be V-lit during testing week. A hundo P chance of success. You've got this, kids. Steve, how about that traffic? Are we looking
better than we're talking turn, FOMO, won't be an issue. No traffic problems around any TPS schools to keep you from taking those tests.
I think the word you clowns should have been looking for is cringy. Alvin DeLauro's weekly masterpiece, The Week That was the subject of an ATP question back in March. Somebody wanted to know how he puts that thing together. Let's just say that Alvin was not that bashful about the effort behind the art. Alvin's week that was, how do you turn it around so quickly? Is it a quick process or no?
I mean, it is pretty amazing.
Yes, I really can't explain it, Alvin.
It's a gift. You know, some people can do these things. Many. I can.
Dude, I'm in shock. Like, let me pick up my jaw off the ground. Did you just say that this is a gift? Not many people can do these things, but I can?
I mean, do you see it anywhere else? I don't.
Dude, what's gotten into you, and why don't we talk more often? You got a swag today.
We should probably get to it soon. It's already...
Yeah, we should walk off on that, legend. All right, Alvin.
Thanks, Jim.
I've worked for this guy, or worked with this guy. Actually, I've worked for this guy for a decade and a half. I have never seen him flex like that. Well done, Alvy. Love the confidence, kid. Love it. Let's go to April. The champion of March Madness is decided in April. And in early April, the Virginia Cavaliers beat Texas Tech to win their first ever college basketball title in the 114-year history of that proud program.
Into the hands of Hunter. And Virginia with the all-time turnaround title.
The last man to climb the ladder and cut down the nets in Minneapolis was head coach Tony Bennett. And after he got down off that Warner, he lobbed a phone call into the jungle.
If we had gone to the Sweet 16 last year and won a game in it, could we have? Perhaps. But I think this helped our chances greatly by experiencing that. And it can do one way or the other. It can crumble you or it can take you and make you better where you went to gone. And so I probably go towards that experience probably helped us get there more than anything else.
My man looks like a movie star. Unbelievable coach. Great dude. Class act. And the same thing might be said for the other coach on the losing end of that championship game. My man, you want to talk about a movie star. How about my man Chris Beard?
I will say this, man. As much as it hurt when that buzzer went off and Virginia beat us, I was connected with a beer and some salted caramel ice cream pretty quick.
Oh, my man, how'd that taste?
Unbelievable.
Chris, if you deny yourself that whole time and you finally run into a cold one, what kind of beer?
It was just what was at the hotel. I think it was just a Silver Bullet. The mountains were blue. I'm looking forward to getting into some IPAs here in the next couple of days.
My man's the best. And side note, sidebar, I went to Lubbock, and he and I bumped into a few. God, he is such a great guy. What a great coach. Tech cannot sneak up on anybody anymore, not as long as Chris Beard is there. Ask Louisville. Now, love the guy or hate the guy, there is no denying that this right here is on the short list for best and most unlikely stories or moments of the sports year. In fact, any sports year.
Waited for years. Many doubted we'd ever see it. But here it is. The return to glory.
Big Cat may not run down Jack for the all-time mark, but major number 15 for Tiger Woods was an amazing moment. One of the best comebacks in sports history. Given what the guy had went through, much of it self-inflicted.
Huge.
But it was huge. Seattle Seahawks have one of the best quarterbacks of this generation in Russell Wilson, future Hall of Famer. They inked him to a fat four-year extension to make sure that every bit of his prime is played out in the Pacific Northwest. And who needs an NFL insider to break that news when Russ and his wife can do it from their bed?
Hey, Seattle, we got a deal.
Go Hawks.
Go Hawks. But I'm going to see y'all in the morning.
Good night.
Time for y'all to go to bed.
Finally, we can go to sleep.
See y'all in the morning.
Man, that contract looks better and better each week. And the announcement itself, much as I respect Russ, sounds creepier and cringier every time I hear it. Next time, just go to bed, Russ. Good night. LAX Airport, at this point, should probably just be called TMZ Airport, because they will find anybody. And they found Daryl Strawberry at the baggage claim, and Straw told them that day that marijuana is a gateway drug. Too bad for Straw. Steven Jackson heard the interview.
Man, Daryl Strawberry, you got to be stopped. Weed is a gateway drug. Bro, you a whole cokehead out here. You skipped that whole class, dog. You ain't even try to roll you up nothing to see. You went straight to the boy, all right? Second, weed heads and cocaine, people do coke. We don't even hang around. We don't even want to be around each other. I don't even know what that feel like. I ain't never experienced that. So you are not the person to be talking about marijuana. You a whole cokehead out here, bro. Listen to you talk about weed and asking you for advice about weed is like asking somebody that went broke on how to stay rich. You a whole cokehead out here, bro.
That is incredible. And if you think that Stack Jack was coming off that, he's not. And you can hear the double down in episode 101 of the Jim Rohn podcast. Make sure you check that out. Question for you now. Have you ever had a piece of candy stuck to your nipples? Indian skipper and jungle favorite Terry Francona has, and he was more than happy to share the story.
A couple of my kids were in town for my birthday, and my oldest daughter, she was laughing because she had visited me in Philadelphia on a road trip, maybe 10 years ago. So I rolled over in the morning, and she said I had an M&M stuck on my right nipple. It happens. And it unfortunately, like I said, it's not exaggerated.
My bad for not following up and asking if he ate it. But let's just assume that he did, because M&Ms are way too good to waste. And there may not be an NBA basketball franchise in Seattle anymore, but Damian Lillard damn near pulled up from there to send the Thunder back to OKC in Game 7 of the first round of the Western Conference playoffs.
Lillard, a chance to send the Thunder home. Lillard, long-range three, and it's good! at the buzzer! Damian Lillard, are you kidding me?
The only thing more amazing than that shot was Paul George saying it was a bad shot.
It's a bad shot. I don't care what anybody says. That's a bad shot.
No, that was not a bad shot, PG, but that was a bad take by you. I don't care what anybody says. That was a really bad take by you. And 3 months after Hawk welcomed his second child into the world, James Kelly did as well, a baby boy named Whitley James. And when the jungle found out it was by way of C-section, Casey in Pensacola phoned in with his medical analysis on why that was the case.
Hey, what's up, Romy Rome?
What's up, man?
Hey, man, is it any wonder that James Kelly's wife is having a C-section is my first point. You've seen that cracker's forehead.
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
Hey, Dr. Casey, thank you very much for the medical analysis. Way to take a joyous occasion and wreck it. Even if you're probably right. When we come back, the year in review continues. It's Alvy's year that was. If you're on Twitter, do me a favor. Hashtag it. Rome, Y-I-R. Rome, R-O-M-E, Y-I-R. We go to the month of May when we return. Andrew Bogut. Bogut makes an appearance in the year in review. That's coming up next.
You're listening to the Jim Rome Show.
Blasting through the year in review. The jungle year in review. So we're into May now. The NBA playoffs were into the conference semifinals. Warriors big man Andrew Bogut asked me if I was coming to Houston for Game 3 against the Rockets. More importantly, he asked me if I was going to bring a native guest.
You got to come out to the game in Houston?
If I can get on that Andrew Bogut jet, I might come out. You know, a
we'll
beer or two after?
With Toby.
Toby? Hmm. Can you get Toby to come?
Well, that's your guy. Give him a buzz. Give him a call, and you can sit courtside and have a few beers, kick a few back, and enjoy the game.
That is not the first time my man has reset Toby. Andrew Bogut is incredible. I know it won't be the last. I can always count on that dude to crank out a reset. It's your guy. You could sit courtside with him and have a few. Kick back. Now, you've heard this saying, right? Out with the old and in with the new. Robert Dasmati leaving after 6 months and being replaced by Garrett Ritt was the opposite. It was out with the new guy, in with the old guy. And all you simulcast viewers made sure to drive home that very point when you got your first look at old man Ritt.
Hey, Rick, everybody is sick of you and you're uglier than the new bowling ball working for Rome.
Hey, quick shout out to the new bald guy, Vin Weasel, behind the glass. Now, I can't see behind the table, but does the studio allow for enough room for your wheelchair, Professor X?
But, Jim, I'm watching the show on TV. Is it take your grandfather to work day? Seriously, the new guy looks so old. Robert wasn't training him how to do his job. He was showing him how to use one of them newfangled computation machines. This guy hasn't been around electricity since the last time he flew a kite in a thunderstorm.
From looking like Dwight Eisenhower to picking vegetables out of his frozen lunches to eating Skittles for breakfast to slugging hot chocolate at the age of 90, there has never been any staffer who has produced more content without uttering a single word on the air. It's Ritt!
It's lit!
1 month into the Major League Baseball season, Dodgers closer Kenley Jansen was noticeably different, and he had lost some zip on his heater due to medical complications with an irregular heartbeat. Serious, serious stuff. But not more serious than winning. Am I right, Matt in Alhambra? Let's go to Alhambra. Matt.
This team is a team of destiny. Cody Bellinger is looking like Babe Ruth. The pitching staff is just getting their arms stretched out. The only thing that has to happen here is Kenley Jansen's got to make a choice. Did he care about his health, or did he care about that heart medication? Because he's taking 5 miles an hour off his fastball, and he's killing us. I love the Dodgers. Go Blue. Thank you for the barn, and I am out.
So, like, Kenley, I mean, could possibly die from his heart issues, but not before he kills Matt with that bad fastball. Way to keep your priorities straight, dude. Now, one thread that will not die is Beaks in Studio City being Feast in Spaghetti Gravy, whatever the hell you clones want to call him, on an hourly basis. Because one picture on Twitter changed this guy's legacy forever. And everybody was rushing in to call him fat, even Jeff in Southfield.
Jim, I'm not saying Big Daddy B-Cups is overweight. I'm just saying if Beaks was in the rock band Led Zeppelin, their hit song Stairway to Heaven would be titled Stairway to Difficult. Seriously, Jim, if baseball teams were named after Beaks, the Miami Marlins would be called the Miami Marlin Brandos.
Stairway to Difficult. And this went on and on and on and on, and still does. But Beaks says that you will never, ever keep him down because he has science on his side.
Jim, I ain't even joking. I've seen the video. Clones, you can't keep Aqua Beaks down because fat floats, you idiots.
You can't keep fat down because fat floats, you idiots. Despite the fact that it did nothing to get the clones off this guy's back. Now, right about this time, we were 6 weeks out of the smack off, so things were starting to heat up. There was this memorable back and forth between Caleb in Green Bay and Mark in Boston, which started with Caleb.
Yes, Mark, because you're having so much more sex than I am. The wife lets you hit it once every Boston World Series and only to procreate, but somehow I'm the loser because I'm not married. When the day comes that I can finally slide into home plate, at least I won't sing the same song as you do in the shower the next morning. We all love the Red Sox.
Now, the problem with lobbing that first shot is you're always writing the setup for the response, right? Which Mark absolutely crushed.
Caleb, thanks for not being hard on me, bro. Maybe that's because you don't know how to go hard on anything but your arteries. And the reason why I have a lot of kids is not because I'm chasing you in the odds. I'm going after the greats. I'm going after Alvin DeLauro. 4 kids, baby. You know why I take a lot of wrestling? Because I get a lot of wrestling. So yeah, I do love the Red Sox, but Caleb always loves his tube sock, always has an...
That's not a good call. No.
You don't like that call.
I don't like that call. Not a very good call.
Caleb always loves his tube sock. Smack-off season is the best season. And shortly after Bob Dawes took his act to local city government, Keith Arnold, a.k.a. Chael Sonnen Jr., a.k.a. Pepperoni Nipples, a.k.a. Bob Vila, a.k.a. Batman, also walked out. Today is Batman's last day.
We're going to miss you, Keith, about as much as a scorching case of herpes.
Good luck with one of the worst decisions of your life, an unwore hawk forcing Rome and the crew to sign a card for you on the way out the door.
Keith Arnold was the tonsil. We can all see him, but we're not really sure what he does or why he's there.
And like Keith, I am talented enough to push a print button and carry a piece of paper from one room to another.
That time he moved one seat over behind flight deck, and then he awkwardly smiled at the camera.
Oh, dude, wait a minute. I thought Alvin was leaving. Who's leaving?
Keith Arnold or Arnold Keith, or no wonder some bitches leave.
I also like how he has a computer in front of him like he's actually doing work. What, a pair of reading glasses didn't want any of that fake hustle?
Which was your least favorite of the three?
Oh, the nips thing, dude. That kills me. Because I don't even have big nipples.
I'm just happy to have had him while we did. This guy could have pitched in the major leagues since he allegedly struck out Joe Mauer 3 times in high school. But he chose the jungle instead, my man. And if you're looking for a story that trumps whatever one you're telling at that time, you go find Keith. Guaranteed he's got one locked and loaded and ready to interrupt you with. Philadelphia is a city known for many things, but they added eating horse poop to their tourist brochure when they chowed down on it after the Eagles won the Super Bowl a few years back. You know, Kevin Hart told me to save him a plate of that when he came on the show back in May.
In these next 3 seasons, I feel like we really do have a shot.
You're going to see me in Philadelphia, and I may eat some horse poop. I may have to. It might have to go down. I may have to go and just taste a little batch of horse manure. That's what happens in the city.
I'm going to hold him to that. I just don't think I'll be holding him to that this season. Now, when Ben Mezrich writes a new book, I can't wait for his media tour to start in the jungle. This time, his new piece of nonfiction was on Bitcoin, although he thought that I was going to ask him about something else altogether.
I thought you were going to ask about Toby in Houston. I
will
think
ask
that was going to get there.
Go.
Yeah,
all right,
I thought
so
that
Toby.
Was going
to
go that way.
So, Toby, now, what about Toby? You have access to a lot of people. How are you going to find Toby?
I will say.
Where would you start? How are you going to approach this?
I spent way more time yesterday looking into Toby in Houston than one should, especially on the first day of your book tour. But I had never seen the word crank used in that fashion before. And that's what intrigued me.
How badly do all you clones want Ben Mezrich to write the biography on Toby? Almost as badly as John in New York screwed up Ben Mezrich's name when he called in after the interview.
So with the Ben Mezrich, you know, breaking it down, you trying to intercept that was even funnier. That's the way.
Hey, John, good effort, bud. It's a thought that counts. Both me and Mezrich appreciate it. One of the lesser known Marks in the jungle is Mark in Chicago. And he called in to take a run at a better-known Mark, Mark in Hollywood.
Now, Mark in Hollywood, dude posts a picture of himself flexing on some crappy-looking inland lake. I think it was a still from the set of a commercial where he's playing hemorrhoid sufferer number two. When my roids flare up like a 4th of July fireworks show, I use roid out. I'm Mark in Hollywood. Or maybe it's for that pill. You know that pill that people take before they wrestle with someone who's attained the HIV? I mean, what kind of drug is that anyway?
That's not a good call. No. You don't like that call.
I don't like that call.
There have not been very many phrases that have been uttered on this show that stop me dead in my tracks, like attain the HIV. That is a phrase that I've never heard before and hope to never hear ever again. Mark, brother, you should attain brother. A new show to call into. Now, I know the Raider fan is everywhere. They're one of the true fan bases that actually does have a nation. I just did not know it was an international fan base until Torval in Sweden called in to rep from overseas.
Yeah. We love the Raiders here in Sweden.
You do? So yeah. Are you a longtime Raider fan? What's up? Are you?
Yeah, all of our ancestors raided all of Europe, so we'd be following the Raiders. Those tools next door in Norway, they like the Vikings, but that's a loser team.
Well said.
We love
them. You know what? I don't think that guy's in Sweden. Nothing like a Swedish caller with a Wisconsin area code. Lauren in Naples made her presence known in 2019 when she breathed life back into her rivalry with Mona in Knoxville. Remember?
Mona, Mona, Mona. Good Lord, child. How old are you? I am just so curious. Trust me, I've been in the emergency room, but really, you're going to board gym with your clogged intestinal system of shit. Give him a call when you're home sitting on a dump.
That's not a good call. No.
Too bad for Lauren. The Mona is the dirtiest old woman in the jungle and was not about to take that blast without coming back with some of her own.
Look, I'm not going to pick on Lauren because I found out that her middle name is Emma, so she has to go through life known as Laurenima. And I saw that BIC's package was so big, I thought it had an elbow. That elbow belonged to Rich Flores.
That's not a good call. No.
I mean, truly, Mona might be one of the best callers on the program. And if she's not that, then she is by far the dirtiest. Dirtiest. When we come back, they'll check in on the two-time Smack-Off champ who changed the game, Lef. It is the Jungle Year in Review. If you like what you hear, if you don't like what you hear, if you want to do anything at all and respond on Twitter, just make sure you hashtag it. Rome, Y-I-R. Rome, Y-I-R. Here is your sports update.
Live from Southern California,
This is the Jim Rome Show, the year in review on CBS Sports Radio.
Goodbye, Windows 7. Hello, Windows 10. Dell's holiday sale helps you save big on the latest business computers with Intel Core processors. Plus, you get free shipping. Call 877-BUY-DELL. 877-BUY-DELL. Remember when I said to all you dopes who said that I would never make it to December? You dopes might be right. Let's wrap up the month of May quickly. Lef in Laguna is a two-time Smackoff champion. He did change the game and the rules of the game, because in the wake of Lef storming my studio on two different occasions, I barred anybody from ever doing that again. And even though that decision was mine and mine alone, Lef thinks that Brad had something to do with it.
You are a gimmicky little bitch, and you're also a gimmicky little snitch. Telling on me, getting rules changed. Bro, you know what you are? You're the four-time Smack-Off whiner, posing in those photos with that resting snitch face like an Abercrombie and snitch model. Listen, bro, the PGA Championship tees off today. Are you planning to phone in any rules violations on that golf narc hotline? Anyways, Brad and Caro Narc, tell me why you're a gimmicky little snitch. Because I just gave you a radio version of an adult circ.
Adult circ. It was not Brad. But if thinking that got left to drop that phone call, then sure. Certainly it was Brad. Let's go to June quickly. June represented the month the Smack-Off turned a quarter century old. But that was still 3 weeks away, and still plenty of time to get reps. And Bodie in Pearland used his opportunity to go in on Rich Ackerman.
And Bubba, you know, I was watching the Hulu the other day, and I saw Rich Ackerman. And then I saw Ike. And I was like, what the hell is this, a whack-ass Mount Rushmore? I mean, Rich Ackerman looked horrible, man. That neck, man, what the hell is that? He needs to circumcise that sumbitch. Get a beard or wear a turtleneck.
Leave the Rich Ackerman smack and the circumcision talk, for that matter, to Brad. One clone doing that is one too many. You got to circumcise that neck, Bubba? Benny and Wisco is one of my favorite callers because he takes the most bizarre angles on things. Like the time I was reading a PSA on the dangers of trains and getting hit by them.
Who the hell is getting hit by trains? Who are the idiots that made the DOT take a look at us radio listeners as a whole and say, well, we certainly have to remind this group of people not to walk, drive, bike, rollerblade, or rascal themselves in front of this 5,000-ton moving machine that can only travel on tracks that are really well documented, by the way, even blocked by a barrier in most cases. I can't wait to listen to the campaigns in store for us in the future. Do not have sex with a moving farm combine. And Knife Awareness Month. Knives, they're not hot dog beaks, so don't eat them. Anyway, Rome, provided I don't get hit by a locomotive or sucked through a jet engine while walking my dog, I'll talk to you tomorrow.
I'm so glad Benny realized that there is so much more to life than rat and cheese smack. On June 12th, the St. Louis Blues finally won the Stanley Cup, knocked off the Boston Bruins in seven. Great news for the Lou, even better news for the rest of the world, who got to experience Brett Hull at the Victory Parade.
Glory, Gloria, 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 I think I got your number, Gloria. You can say let's go Blues all you want, but you know what? We win! We win, Blues! There is nothing more they have to do. So instead of saying let's go Blues, we're going to say we win, Blues!
I hope St. Louis wins every single year if it means Hully is going to get a live mic. I interrupt the month of June to bring you a look back at Smackoff 25, the Silver Smackoff, which went down on the 21st and showcased the very best of the Jungle Callers. 16 participants made it to air. Plenty more were left on hold. But by the end of hour number three, a champion was crowned. DA debuted on the board. He finished in 10th. Jay Stu finished in his usual spot of 9th, telling jokes that only he and I and Alvin would get. Dan in Denver shocked the world with a respectable 8th place finish. Benny in Wisco had at least a spot on the podium locked up before handing off the phone to Darren in Illinois and falling back to 7th. The two-time champ, Lef in Laguna, took his biggest step back with a 6th place finish after doing way too much material on buttholes.
Butthole.
So let's get into the top five, starting off with Mike in Indy in the five hole.
Rome, about once a year, somebody new shows up and flashes brilliance, and everyone assumes it's me because I'm the gold standard of brilliance. On the brilliance scale of 1 to Mike in Indy, Jeff in Southfield started as a 9, but after that garbage call today, you all know that ain't me. Regardless, Jeff received the ultimate compliment any Smackoff caller could ever receive. At one point, everyone thought he was me.
Solid call. But you remember that he did spend months building up a storyline of a $5,001 cameo that he was selling. The cameo turned out to be his karaoke version of a Beastie Boys song invoking sabotage. So it came off a little flat, right? Fourth place, Shawnee, the Cowboy Nation.
It's been a long couple weeks, Jim. I'm a huge Big Poppy fan, I got to tell you, because David Ortiz, he's literally the one jersey that I own. So it's been a rough couple weeks. The shooting totally messed me up, and I come to find out it was a case of mistaken identity. So naturally, the first thought that I have is, what beef could Esther Roll have possibly had with the Dominican drug cartel?
Welcome back, Shawnee. Great phone call from a five-time champ. He had taken off the last 12 years. Great to have him back in the mix. Let's hope that was not the last time. In third place, the Walrus, Caleb in Green Bay.
Can you imagine what would happen if one of these cadavers from the days of yore won the Smackoff, like Carbone or the Cablanasian? They'd go longer in between titles than Rick in Buffalo when he can't afford a used car. Now, I'm not saying that high school teachers don't get paid very well, but I am saying that to save money on laundry, Rick just showers with his clothes on. He slams one Tide Pod over his melon, another one under his armpits, and a third in his mouth for a light snack. And yes, clones, I'm well aware that Tide Pod jokes are about a year and a half too old, even for Rick, but I'm pretty sure you could say the same thing about the senior girls in his geography class.
Many of you argued that he should have won, and I will still tell you, he's going to. It's not a matter of if, but it's a matter of when, and that was by far his best performance. He just gave it on a day when two guys were better, including Rick in Buffalo.
And don't even get me started on all those NBA front runners. 3 Raptors fans in May turned into 3 million diehards in June. My skank mother-in-law even went up for the parade. This drunk bitch is going on 70 and still wants to party like it's Woodstock 69.
Hell of an effort by the sophomore. Rick went from 7th in 2018 to 2nd in 2019. He's proven he's got what it takes. He's going to win one. He will. The problem for Rick and everybody else is this guy right here in first with a record-tying 5th win, Brad in Corona.
Speaking of other guys who look like they're about to have a heart attack, Rick in Buffalo did a great job screaming through his call today. He's a funny guy, Jim, calling his mother-in-law a skank, talking about his 2-year-old's private parts. That's hysterical. I mean, I know this is radio. I just wish the guy weren't so gosh damned ugly, Jim. Rick in Buffalo is so ugly, when he and his wife have sex, she has to close her eyes and pretend he's Tony Kornheiser. And much like PTI, that only gets her about 3 good minutes out of Rick.
The 5th win ties the PIC with the Cablanasian. For most all time, it's going to set up a hell of a storyline. Will Brad or Shawnee go MJ and rip a 6th? Or will somebody else put that tiebreaker on hold? I know this. Smackoff 25 was great. I already can't wait for next summer. We come back and continue with the month of June. Hour number 3, straight ahead. It is the Rome Year in Review.